This is BoxScore, brought to you by GamesRadar, and I'm your host, Richard Grisham. To say that Madden NFL 13 and NCAA 13 are big games this year for EA Sports is an understatement of epic proportions. And as I've chronicled in the BoxScore columns the past couple of weeks, Tiburon Studios, the development team that makes, among other things, those two football games, has gone through a significant remaking over the past 12 months, and it's been a fascinating process to witness. Many fans of the games really have little to no idea what it takes to run a studio and make a complicated sports game, and to do so while also going through dramatic changes in personnel is a monumental task. So, who better to talk to about everything Madden and NCAA than those who are responsible for it? Well, thanks to the good people at Tiburon, I was able to speak at length to two of their most important football people, Madden NFL 13 creative director Mike Young and GM of American football Cam Weber. They graciously allotted me some time, and I think the results are really interesting. And stay tuned at the end for a conversation I was able to have with the newly crowned Madden NFL 13 cover vote winner Calvin Johnson of the Detroit Lions. So first up is Mike Young, who's in his first full year as a creative director. We talk about what that means, what he sees for this year, as well as future versions of the game, and how he's handled some of the changes in his role. All right, we are here with Mike Young, the creative director for Madden 13 and Madden in general. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
No problem, Rich.
Before we get into it, I know a little bit about your background from what I've read, but I've never spoken to you directly before. Why don't you just give us a little bit of your background, kind of how you got into Madden and how you wound up sort of at this, you know, what most people would agree is one of the coolest jobs in the world, is to be the creative director of Madden. How you kind of got from where you started to where you are right now?
Yeah, I could go back way to my childhood days, but, you know, I, like a lot of your listeners and you, I'm sure, grew up playing sports video games. I always loved games like Tecmo Bowl and the early Maddens and, you know, NHL 94. And it's always my, you know, one of my main passions, and I love sports. And I was an artist growing up, and went to art school. And that was in the 90s. And during the 90s, the PS1 came out. 3D modeling became kind of a career profession you could pursue. There were no schools with it, but it kind of hit me right there. I wanted to work in games, and I could use my talents as an artist. And kind of this emerging, you know, technology. And that's what I pursued in school. And I got my first job working on NBA Street in Chicago. I loved that franchise. Spent 7 years as an artist, eventually as the art director. And when I knew they weren't going to be shipping that game for a few years, I looked around the studio. And I'd always loved football, and I loved Madden. And I just jumped at the chance to come work here and spent 4 years as their art director and worked really closely with Ian Cummings. We shared an office for 4 years, and it had always been my dream to be the game designer, not the artist on the game. I just, throughout life, have always been the guy who made up the rules for whatever thing we were playing. And, you know, when he left, it was a great opportunity for me to step up. And luckily, I had the support of Cam Weber, who came down from EA Canada on Fight Night and SSX, and yeah, it's been one full year now, actually, since I've taken over this role. So, and it's probably about 12 years in the industry, but I love it.
So, speaking of that role, I mean, the term creative director, probably, I mean, to people like me, until recently, I don't think I really understood what it really means to be the, you know, creative director of a game. And my assumption is, and this is an assumption, is that depending upon where the game is in its stage of development, it means a different thing. So, like, what is it that a creative director does in during pre-production and design versus when the game's sort of in, like, sort of heavy development or in crunch time, or in, you know, that sort of space where, okay, the game's completed but it's not released? I would imagine your job entails very different activities on a daily basis based upon where you are.
Yeah, totally. That's pretty insightful, actually. So, I mean, overall, I feel like I'm the, you know, coach of the design team. Essentially, I own what ideas we're going to present to the executives and have a huge influence on what game we put out from the creative standpoint. So during pre-production, it's a balancing between looking at telemetry, understanding our audience through reviews, forums, playtesting, interaction, a mixture of gut feel, talking to other designers, playing the other games in the industry, not just sports, and setting a direction for our product. And, you know, we pitch the game in pre-production to our executives, and we get a sign-off, and then we quickly, you know, flush out designs and start to scope the game. And at that point, a lot of the job becomes, you know, scoping while trying to keep the essence of what you wanted to achieve. And at a certain point, determining, like, okay, this is what we wanted to go for. If we can't have X, is it still something we should pursue? Or should we, in the background, start this as a two-year project that, you know, the fans might not see this year, but we believe in it so strongly? So it's kind of those types of decisions are in pre-pro. Once we have that plan locked and everyone's bought in that, you know, this is going to be the best, you know, game for our fans this year, and we've got the design and we have confidence in the technology, you know, then it's a lot of feedback and keeping the game on course. So on paper, there's a lot of stuff that seems cool or technology that people think we can pull off, and sometimes there's hiccups and you have to kind of steer the car back onto the course. Maybe change your design, maybe come up with something that still delivers what you wanted, but in a different manner. So say it's some kind of feedback on the end of your career and the thing you wanted to do. Well, initially we thought that was going to be a week, but it's now 5 weeks and we only have 1 week. So what do we do?
Right.
So that's kind of that part of the year. And then crunch time, it's kind of like, okay, the experience is in. What's fun? What's not? You're also getting a lot of feedback from different types of people in the organization, QA, executives, your own gut feel for playing it, other designers, our community, and you have to kind of think, you know, well, is their feedback valid? Are they somebody who is our core audience? And, you know, really I'm working to make the right decision in a really short amount of time. You can't waste time at the end of the year. And then, you know, the between completion and release, it's really playing the game every day, making sure that it's as polished as it can be, creating hit lists, working with your team to execute on, you know, the most important things in the right order. Making, you know, bad judgment calls there, you know, can lose you, you know, some real quality if you pick the wrong thing to focus on or you overlook something. So really have to be sharp at this time of year when you're playing the game every day and really trying to detach from the design and just take in the user experience. So you have to try to trick your mind into not knowing what you intended, but is it actually delivering that? Sometimes you get that by playing yourself, so other times from feedback. And so it's a fun. You're never really doing the same thing all year, and that keeps it pretty fresh.
You know, I was I had the privilege of coming to the Tiburon Studios earlier this week. We're recording this in mid-April of 2012, and Mike and Cam Weber and the EA team just were they let me come and bother their guys for an entire day, which, you know, probably will cost the game a little bit of quality by those guys being forced to talk to me all day. But there is a palpable positive vibe around the place these days, and I'm not just saying that. It was you could tell. A lot of the guys on the development staff were really excited about the leadership, the new leadership. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But what's your sense, Mike, on why there is that positive vibe around the guys making Madden for this year? Because I could really tell it.
I'd say it's probably two things. There's a influx of new blood. people who are very skilled, but it's also their passion to work on Madden. Like, they've come from across the country and they were already in a good job and, you know, they're already had a great house, but this was their dream job. And right. they're also very talented and, you know, effective in their role. So I think having these new insights and these people that are like so excited to be here, and, you know, a lot of the design team, are guys that, are brand new to the industry. You know, half of them are, you know, in their first or second year in this industry, and this has been their dream and they worked so hard to get here. And so they have a lot of energy, and, I think that's energized some of the people who have been here for a long time. And then the other thing is, you know, feeling like we're empowered to go big. You know, the team's sizes have grown. We're, you know, recruiting some super talented industry veterans to come here. So it feels like, you know, just a fresh, exciting place to be part of. And, you know, I think when you're a creative and you don't feel like you're, you know, empowered to go after what you're actually trying to achieve, that can be disheartening. But I think some of the people are seeing that, guys like Cam back up what they say. You know, it's not just lip service that, you know, we want to go big and we want to get Madden back to being, you know, the greatest sports franchise. They are backing that up.
You know, you brought it up, and, you know, it's a key thing. It's one of those things that to millions of Madden fans around the world, they have no idea what happened. But to people who sort of follow the ins and outs of the game in the studio, it was a big concern. You mentioned about a year ago there was a change in the leadership of the Madden franchise. A new, you know, new head of the game, new creative director, you, some other people coming in and taking some leadership positions. And that took place at a rather uncommon time for new leadership, because you were still a few months out from delivering Madden 12. So that's kind of an odd thing, and there was some concern about that. You're looking back, you know, a year ago since then, you know, what are some of the things that have happened, you know, that have sort of surprised you about that, and just what was that overall process like, kind of coming in at that leadership role at a sort of what to me seems like an awkward time to do that?
Well, I think when Cam came in particular, it was with the intention not to create any waves, and he was going to kind of observe and slowly integrate himself into the product and take over at that ideal time, like you said. And I think, you know, with Phil Fraser and Ann Cummings leaving before the game shipped, it was unfortunate. And I think sometimes in real life, an opportunity, I guess, comes up that they felt like they couldn't wait on.
Right.
And, you know, as somebody who worked closely with us two in particular for 4 years, and, yeah, we're not robots. It was sad to lose them as friends, but I feel like they're in happier places, and the teams, because we have people who are, you know, invigorated to be in those roles and qualified to be in those roles, you know, the game's kept on moving, and in fact feels like it's, you know, an injection of freshness and quality. And so a year later, I feel like maybe a month or two personally was kind of hard, just, you know, having to pick up a little bit of extra work as we finaled the game or do an extra media event or whatnot was a little challenging. But overall, I think them personally, they're happier. And I think seeing where we're at with this team right now, I'm definitely happier.
You know, you mentioned that earlier, you've got a bunch of new guys. And one of the things that I've always kind of known, because what I do in my, you know, my day job is software development, but one of the things that became incredibly apparent when I was there is the massive amount of different areas of work going on that it takes to put together a Madden game. You've got gameplay guys, you've got art guys, you've got, you know, core base system guys, you've got, you know, the marketing guys. You've got so many different people doing so many different things. Some of them are new, a lot of tech to put together in a relatively short amount of time. I got to imagine that there are some unique challenges that probably have shown up in your inbox over the course of the last 6 months, based upon all of those that that were surprising to you. I mean, how do you? It's probably an impossible question to answer, but how do you really kind of get all of that combination of new people and separate tech and kind of like put it all together into a cohesive package? That's a pretty tall order.
It's a really big challenge on probably every company, and it's nothing new to Tiburon this year or EA Sports. And you know, the 12 years I've worked with the company, like, people work in silos naturally. And I think it's director-level roles that are the glue. Art directors, creative directors, executive producers, line producers, those communication pipelines, and making sure that everyone's pulling in the same direction and keeping the game a cohesive experience. And if this feature is being added by this team, that there's audio for it, there's art for it, and it's, you know, consistent with the rest of the pieces. I'm answering more from my perspective of,
sure,
you know, what a creative director or art director does, but
right.
It's always a challenge. And the bigger you scale, the harder that challenge is. And I think no one person can do that themselves. And you need to, you know, have lieutenants that, you know, can, you know, stay aligned with that one vision and help you execute on that. And the one thing I love about this year's leadership team is I feel like we share a common goal and a common alignment, and we understand what we're trying to build. And when you have, like, your core leadership team saying the same message, believing the same message, believing in the same, like, way to achieve that, it's much easier to, you know, lead a big team and have something good come out of it. But it's a lot of work.
Yeah. I was at the studios, and I remember just seeing a sign, you know, hanging up. Reminder to all employees, we've got concierge service for, you know, haircuts and dry cleaning and food and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, you probably have to, considering the amount of hours that it takes to put these games together. There's just a massive amount of effort going on behind the scenes. What's the most common misconception that you run across about, that people have about you and the Madden games?
I would say probably it's that sports games aren't creative.
Hmm.
You know, like, working on them, well, what does a creative director do? Because there's nothing creative about sports.
Ouch.
And I think it's definitely wrong. I think there's a lot of, you know, to take something real and turn it into something that's fun and has a mechanic to it. And, of course, the sport itself has rules, but, you know, translating that to a experience that somebody has with a controller or, makes it a, you know, kind of has all those gaming mechanics of, you know, having a goal, having feedback, having, you know, a reason to want to play. Like, these are the things that we add to the game. So I find it really fun to work on. And I've met so many people throughout the years that have thought, no, oh, I don't get it, because the NFL is just the NFL.
And you very nicely, I would imagine, kind of set them straight.
Not really. You know, I'm not a big debater. I also have people act like my job is just playing video games all day, and I don't really set them straight either. Whatever they want to believe.
Like, they're really going to believe you anyway. You can show them cold, hard proof, and they'd be like, yeah, you're still making video games.
Yeah.
So what's the most surprising thing been to you since you've taken over? Maybe something that you really just didn't realize was going to be part of what you've done that's become a big part of your role.
I kind of can't say there's a giant surprise, because I'd worked so closely with the previous creative director.
Mm.
Sat in his office for 4 years. You know, we had a great partnership. I had a lot of the same responsibilities. We just had a great partnership. So I don't know if I've saw anything in particular new.
What
the
about?
The scariest thing I did was pitch the game to John Madden.
Wow. That is scary.
To think that you sit down at a table and you're talking to John Madden about football and he's, a Hall of Famer and an expert. And I didn't know that was part of the deal, I guess. But it worked out well, and he remembered me from the year before when I just got to sit in the corner. So that was, it went well. So it was a good badge of honor moving forward. But you don't realize how many people you have to get up in front of and share the vision of the game with. And I kind of saw that we did that a lot, but maybe not as much as I ended up doing it this year.
Well, I got to ask, because I do presentations for a living. So what do you use when you present to John Madden? Is it PowerPoints? Or are you like just talking? Or are you getting in front of a chalkboard, whiteboard? How does that work?
Well, I use PowerPoint. We brought it out to him. But the real thing with presentations is the same content doesn't work for every audience. Mm. So when I thought about talking to John about the game, it was different than our own executives or the NFL. And that, if you're doing it internally, everyone has a different understanding about where the game is at. When you're talking to somebody that's, not that he's an outsider, but he's not like, very active Madden gamer.
Right.
And
right.
He doesn't know the gaming terminology as well, but he knows football. So kind of being able to change your tone, wording, while still delivering the same message with every presentation is definitely an acquired skill, and not always hitting home runs with that, but definitely you learn that that's what's needed to share this message with so many different people, and it was fun.
You said something that really kind of struck a chord with me, which is that a lot of people don't think of a creative director with a sports game having a lot to do because sports isn't creative. There's a lot of challenges that you have in promoting a yearly release that even I think in a revolutionary year will by some certain segment of the public will be derided as just a roster update. Each season it seems like, and I'm sure it's exactly the right message. Each season you're saying it's, this is the most improvements ever, or it's the freshest game ever. How do you overcome the, sounding the same when, you're talking about how, this year's game actually is the best game. It is the freshest experience. How do you go about, getting that message sort of crafted the right way to your public?
Yeah. Well, definitely I don't worry about the message as much as, working as hard as we can to deliver that. We're all hardcore fans of this game, and we've all have our dream wish list. And for us, we push as hard as we can to get all of it. And on top of that, there's year-to-year evolution in the sport of football. So beyond just new rookies and, ratings changes, there's Nike uniforms.
Right.
When Tim Tebow and the Broncos started using a whole new offense, it changed the NFL forever. So we're always evolving the game. The game became more of a passing league. Tight ends are evolving into pass catching monsters that are, exploiting defenses. And I think the game's evolving too. So there's always cool new stuff to add. It is, I think in any sports game, no matter how good you are, always going to be hard to convince somebody without the proof. Like, I think until people play something and they feel that jump, no one buys words anymore. Just the words on their own. I think most people have a show me type attitude when it comes to new products, especially ones that come out frequently. So the best thing we can do is our director, Gene Adams, talks about touch every pixel. So does the game look different the second you put the disc in? In gameplay, they talk about, changing the way it feels dramatically. So like anyone who's picked up the game over the last 3 years, as soon as they feel this or see it in motion, they're like, something's different and it's better. And then, like, in our core game modes, are we giving them something that no one's giving them, an experience that we've never given them, that they can sense? And I think sometimes we get focused on hundreds of minute polish items versus really driving towards, have we given them a different experience, not just a slightly polished experience? And I think that's one of the things we focused on this year with career modes is we've essentially been giving a slightly better version of the same experience for the last few years, maybe even further back than that. But we really wanted to drive to a different way to play the game, a different way to compete, a different way to connect with people. So you're playing something new. And I think that's what sticks with people is like, oh, I've never played this before. Not, well, this, you know, there's a difference between like keeping pace with expectations and then having something that's truly new. So we try.
That's, yeah, that'll be, that's
long-winded.
Yeah, no, it's true and it's evident from what's going on. So last question before I let you get out of here, and I could ask you 100 more questions, but you've got a job to do and it's a Friday afternoon. The new console generation, does the new console generation inspire you? I mean, do you immediately react and say, oh man, I've always wanted to do this, and because of this new technology now I can? Or conversely, because you have so much invested in your current technology, does it concern you? How do you approach the next generation that's coming in the next, 18 months or so?
Kind of a tricky question. Like, anytime there's any new technology, I think any creative person is excited by something new and shiny. Oh, I have an idea for that. Oh, I think I could do this with that. But we're definitely thinking of, this year's Madden game as a lot of next gen, and I did air quotes for your listeners, ideas in them. What we're thinking about, is Gen 4 really a console, or is it just an idea of the way people are changing the way they play? And so we feel like, this year's game has tons of innovations that to me feel like a different way to think about the technology, or using the technology in a different way. Or so I guess I'm not thinking, man, I can't wait till we get to something new because we can't do this and we can't do that.
Right.
But I'm sure when we hear about all the cool details, we'll really get excited about anything that would allow something different.
Wait, you mean you don't already have a bunch of PlayStation 4s and Xbox 720s sitting in your office and you're using them all day?
I personally don't. I don't know if they exist. Yeah.
Well, this
I'm always
been...
the last.
Well, this has been great. This is Mike Young, creative director for Madden NFL 13, coming out in August, and it's only April, and the team is really just running full force. We have the new cover athlete coming out next week. This is a super busy time, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and good luck the rest of the way with Madden 13.
Thanks, Rich.
Next up is Cain Weber, also in his first year as GM of American Football. We talked about why the studio is brimming with positive energy these days, about how he handled his first few weeks on the job, reorganization he's instituted, and his vision for the future of the franchises.
All right, we are here with Cain Weber, the man in charge of Madden and NCAA at EA Sports. Mr. Weber has been gracious enough to talk with us at well past 5 p.m. on a Friday afternoon during the busiest time of his year. So we really appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So a lot of people know a lot about you, but probably some people don't as well. You have been in your current role as sort of the head of the American football operations for about a year, but maybe you could just describe quickly sort of how you made it here, what your background is, and how you sort of weaved your way from various various video game titles to head probably the most important and certainly the flagship title of EA Sports.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've been in the industry for quite a long time. I actually originally, you know, coming out of college, I was a college football player. I played quarterback for a school called Simon Fraser University, and it's now in the NCAA Division II. Played quarterback. I was a quarterback's coach on staff for a year as well. So I've always had a great passion for football. And then, you know, I kind of embarked on a career in the video game business. Ended up spending about 14 years making all sorts of different kind of games, and you know, across a variety of genres. Always kind of wished I could go back and kind of work on sports games and maybe someday work on a football game. Ended up at EA Canada and spent a few years there. While I was at EA Canada, I spent my first cycle there working on FIFA, working with Andrew Wilson and Kaz Makita and David Rutter and that crew. And I learned a ton about, you know, what makes a successful kind of sports franchise. Heavy investment in gameplay, you know, the way they really structured their group and really invested in advanced developments well in advance, on longer term cycles. And I really took a lot of those philosophies with me and learned from them. And shortly after that, I took over as the executive producer of a group at EA Canada that included a variety of franchises, including Fight Night Champion, which I basically saw right through to the finish last spring. SSX was another group, title that was in development while I was there. And then when Fight Night got to the finish last spring, I was, you know, offered the opportunity to come down here to Tiburon from EA Canada and take over football. And obviously with my background in football, it's my passion. I'm a diehard fan. It was just kind of a dream job for me and a dream opportunity and one that I wasn't about to pass up. So moved my family down here and we've been loving it ever since.
That's quite a climate change from the Vancouver area to the Orlando, Florida area.
Yes, it is. It's a very welcome change, actually. I love Vancouver, but I love the weather here in Orlando.
So Cam and his team were gracious enough to let me come visit their studios earlier this week and just talk to a lot of the developers and get a feel for what they got cooking. And I'm not trying to make you feel good or bad or anything here, but I'm just going to read you a few quotes that I took from completely unsolicited from different guys on your staff. All right. So quote number one, Cam Weber's given the studio a new direction. He's got us all fired up. He's given us more people. I can honestly say that being here, that this is the most excited I've ever been. Quote number two, we've got great leadership that keeps spirits high and keeps people motivated. They treat us great. We know when we get big wins. Number three, I've been told yes more than I ever have working at this company, experimenting, prototyping, giving options, playtesting, needing additional resources, whatever it's been. Number four, the leadership Cam has brought here says, how can we help get this done for you? When you give that to anyone in any situation, they succeed. And then last quote, the leadership has a lot of trust in what I do. It allows me to be creative and create features I think will be positive and beneficial to everybody. I'm sensing a theme. There's a palpable sense of just real energy and real positive, just a real positive feeling around the studio, and it's tied directly. People are saying they're pointing directly at you for that. a year in, how does that make you feel about, you know, what you've been hoping to accomplish in your role here?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it's very flattering. I think it feels really good. I would say that, you know, maybe I've been a catalyst for some of that change. I think that it certainly has been a group effort. I think anytime you have a kind of a major leadership change and kind of reorg like we had last spring, I came down here. I also brought a couple of folks with me from EA Canada. And also kind of moved around and brought over some leaders from within Tiburon. And, you know, we really formed a new leadership and management team. And whenever you do that, you kind of have this opportunity to kind of step back from everything you're doing. One of the things I also did was for the first 2 months, I literally was filling my schedule with one-on-one meetings and meeting with individual people across the football groups and across Tiburon and just asking a lot of simple questions. What makes you motivated to come into work every day? What do you love most about the titles we work on? If you could change anything, what would you change? And what could make you more effective? What could make our games better? asking very simple questions and just listening to people. And it's amazing when you take the time to sit down and talk to people on your teams. It's amazing what you'll find out and what ideas will come out. And really, you know, when myself and my new leadership team, we really kind of set out kind of where we wanted our football titles to be in the future. And we really looked at kind of where we needed to be, not just from, you know, the game vision standpoint, but what organization do we need? How are we going to all work together? How do we maximize quality between NCAA football and Madden and get the most out of our people at the same time, getting them motivated and excited and getting people to really get behind innovation and really making game-changing kind of improvements to both of our titles. And I think it was just a combination of that with, you know, we did a pretty major reorg around how we all work together. We implemented new process. We identified kind of new technologies that we wanted to invest in. We're doing a lot of advanced development now, so we're kind of building on that long-term vision with, you know, basically building on a lot of foundational technology. And that really gives you a platform to kind of, you know, build on for the future. So really, it's a philosophy shift, and really, the amazing thing is just how much people just wanted to do it. It really was easy for me.
You know, you mentioned that you came in. It's been about a year, and you came in at a sort of what I would assume is an awkward time for new leadership of a game, in that you were several months from being code complete for Madden 12. Typically, when a leadership change happens, it's usually at the sort of the end or the end of development of a particular game or the start of development for a new one. So you took over near the end of the development cycle of a very important game. So looking back a year later, what did you learn from that particular process and coming in at that strange time that you think might have put you and your team in a better place for this year's game?
You know, I think, you know, the interesting thing last year was that because of the time that I came in, you know, I really wasn't in a position where I wanted to mess with the team in terms of changing any directions of where they're going or what they were doing. I really wanted to kind of almost stay out of their way, let them kind of finish the product they were building, support them wherever I could. I really used that time. It bought me about 2 or 3 months of just spending tons of time just talking with people, learning from, you know, and learning, observing, listening. And also during that process, myself and my leadership team, we were kind of crafting a long-term vision and planning out a reorganization and a whole new set of positions. You know, one of the things we were talking about this week, we've added over 65 new positions within our football business unit from last year to this year in terms of just total growth of number of people we have working in football. A lot of those are new skill sets and new areas that, you know, we maybe didn't have, you know, within our arsenal before. So really it was kind of the opportunity. I know it's not ideal to come in at that time, but, you know, the leadership was in place there. For me, it was just coming in and learning, and it actually bought me some time while the team was going to the finish to really figure out where we wanted to go, how we wanted to structure ourselves, how we needed to work together, and what we needed to do. And then really, it's funny because it was pretty much the next working day after we went final on Madden, and final when we kind of submit to first party and kind of when we just kind of wrap things up. Right after that, we basically rolled out our new reorg and structured ourselves the way we wanted to structure ourselves in the future, and then kind of set ourselves down the path of kind of where we've been going since then. So really, I guess to me, it wasn't so much about coming in and, you know, driving that team to the finish in a direction I wanted to go. It was really about using that time to observe, learn, listen to people, and figure out where we wanted to go and how we needed to get there.
You know, one of the common themes, and you even said it, 65 new people. A lot of people are saying, I've been given more resources, we got new people. And in fact, I couldn't even find a place to park in the entire garage. I drove around for 20 minutes. I finally had to, like, illegally park and tell the security guy, please don't tow my car. So, but, I mean, you know, we're still talking about, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you're running a business. And so significant resource additions mean higher costs. With a game like Madden, sometimes I think, even if it's amazingly better than its predecessor, that may not translate to massive sales increases. So are you banking on a specific sales increase this go around to help offset some of those resource additions, or are those two not really coupled as far as adding resources in a particular game's numbers?
So, you know, I mean, obviously this is a business and we need to make sure we're managing our operational expenses. And, but at the same time, we're in this for the long haul. And with something like, you know, a franchise like Madden, we know we're going to be there. We need to be strong in the future. We need to be strong today. And every once in a while, I think it's really important that you go in and you make major investments to the underlying technology that you're working on, and really to set you up with a new platform to kind of drive your games into the future. And I think it's really easy to get caught up in this kind of annual cycle where you're just making kind of like these smaller, more incremental annual improvements, and then you get your game done every year. And if you really want to make foundational improvements and large changes and invest in advanced technology, what you need to do is you need to bring in more people to start working on those things in advance while you've got your main team working on the game that you're shipping this year or any given year. So the very idea of advanced technology development requires you to actually bring on new staff, and it's just a different model. It's kind of a different outlook on development. And yes, it costs more this year, but I believe it's going to set us up with a kind of a refreshing new platform that's going to take us over the next kind of 5, 6, 7 years. It's going to be this great foundation that will take us, you know, beyond, above and beyond where we have been in the past.
So Madden is, without a doubt, the flagship game, certainly the flagship game for EA in North America, and FIFA is really probably the other one, although many of your titles are you know, significantly important in the sports landscape. So what are when you took over and even a year later, what are the biggest challenges and opportunities that you face when you are at the helm of such a crucial franchise, and not only for your company, but for the industry? Because when Madden goes well, it seems like the gaming industry goes well along with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and foremost is just the scrutiny that the franchise is under. Everything we do is going to be a big deal, whether it's good or bad. So I think there's an added pressure there. You know, the other thing is, you know, we want to make big improvements, and in order to do that, sometimes you gotta, you know, you need to take some risk. You need to invest in innovation, which sometimes means you got to break a few things in development, and then you got to refix them. It's almost like you're taking a step back before you take a couple steps forward while we go through our cycle. So there's these nervous moments where, you know, you implement a new feature or a new technology and everything kind of breaks for a while before you kind of can tune it. And you definitely, you know, I've had many sleepless nights along the way. I'm sleeping a lot better these days because I'm pretty excited about where our, you know, game is kind of heading right now. But yeah, I guess it adds an extra dimension in terms of how you consider, you know, risk and innovation, and you know, if you're going to make a wide sweeping change to how our game plays,
right,
you also have to consider the fact there's millions of people that also love how our game plays already in the market. So it's just an extra dimension, an extra pressure that gets added. But really, you know what? I think at the end of the day, no matter what franchise you're working on, you can't operate in fear. You have to just kind of pick a direction you're going in that you believe in, and you get behind it, and you execute on it, and you give it an identity, and that's what we're trying to do with Madden.
What's the most common misperception that people have about you and about, you know, Madden and making Madden?
You know, I think the most obvious one is just, you know, we often hear and read kind of comments about how we kind of just sit here at EA Sports, you know, sitting on our hands, giggling about this exclusive NFL deal we have, and just, you know, shipping roster updates every year and looking at our sales numbers as they go. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, we've got a team here in Orlando busting our asses, delivering, you know, significant technology innovation, taking a lot of risk along the way. You know, we sleep, eat, breathe Madden every day and NCAA football every day. And we care as much as anybody in the world about making these games great. So I think that's the biggest thing for me, is just it hurts us to read, you know, read comments from people that feel like we're sitting on our hands and we don't care, because it couldn't be further from the truth.
What's the most surprising thing that you've either seen or that's happened to you in your role since you took over the past year?
I'd say, you know, probably just the transformation of our core gameplay team. We've got a core gameplay team that really supports all of our titles in football, so across NCAA and Madden. And one of the kind of major initiatives in our new organization was to grow that team significantly. It's that team is, I think, over 2.5 times the size that it was last cycle already. We've added a ton of people to it. We've added a lot of football experience to it. We've put some of our all-star engineers, we transferred into that group, kind of bolstered it with strong leadership. My office is actually sitting right in the middle of the core gameplay team, because it's, you know, an area that I'm constantly in their team space talking to those guys too. But what I love to see, and I guess it's not so much a surprise to me, but more kind of a pleasant surprise, is just how much, as we've grown that team, how much that team has just gained such a great chemistry, and the output of their work is just, they're just flourishing as a team. And I'm so excited about what they're delivering this year and what that team's going to deliver over the next few years. So I think that would be the biggest surprise, is just how successful that part of our organizational change has been.
Well, you probably answered this with this answer, but my follow-up to that is, what's the most gratifying thing that's happened since you've taken over in the past year?
Well, I think for me, it's any time, when I can feel it on the sticks. So, when I see our products getting better and I see exciting things happening with our game, that's always kind of the most gratifying as a game developer. But I think on the people side, you referenced some of those quotes earlier, and hearing that people are feeling excited. I mean, I can see that they're excited, but just seeing some cultural change, the kind of the attitudes and motivations of the people here that just want to make Madden great, and that feel like they have a work environment that will allow them to do that. That's really gratifying for someone like myself.
Now, I'm sure, as in your role is really owning Madden and NCAA, in the best situation, you want to deliver a compelling experience to every console, handheld, mobile device, but that's not always possible. So these days, with such a shift, a tectonic shift really changing the way a lot of people play their games, how do you go about picking and choosing those spots and making the tough choices and resource allocation and what platforms to support and sometimes not support? What's your process for making those decisions?
Yeah, I mean, I think at EA, we always have to look at kind of each and every project from a green light standpoint in terms of, the cost and benefit and all that, just, the responsible decisions we make driving a business. However, with something like Madden, we want Madden to be available on every platform possible. And so we're always going to try and be out there. Really, we want people to be able to access that Madden franchise, no matter where they are or what device they're on. So we're always looking to then. It's not a question of whether we are on a device or in a space with Madden. It's more about what's the right experience on that on that device or with that market or with that platform or with that audience. And so, it's really more of a design challenge, and then figuring out what skill sets and what people we need to execute on each one of those, so that we're not just trying to build one experience for, across all these devices. We're trying to build the unique, best experience possible for each individual device.
So the last question for you, and I could go on for hours with stuff, but it certainly wouldn't be fair to you. What is the new console generation? Does it inspire you? I mean, do you immediately react to what you're hearing and seeing, saying, oh, man, I've always wanted to do X, and now because of this new tech, I can? Or conversely, because of all of the investments you're making and still some of the uncertainty, are you more sort of, concerned about the next console generation? What are you thinking about what's coming down the pike over the next 18 months?
So, I mean, to me, when I think about future console generations, it's less about a specific console or anything. It's more about, I talked earlier about investing in gameplay. So that's our core fundamental game experience, making that fun, making it authentic. But then at the same time, we want to invest in advanced technologies. Those advanced technologies are kind of the underlying engines, tool sets, and the workflows and that are kind of lying underneath the hood. And our heavy investment in our advanced technology is really to get us, no matter what platform or hardware or console we're on, it's about setting us up to deliver the experiences we want in the end. So I believe that, you know, what we're doing right now and the heavy investment we're putting on advanced technology and gameplay, really it's to set us up no matter what comes down the pipe in the future in terms of hardware or transitions to new consoles or new technologies. We feel like we're going to be set up for that.
Fantastic. Again, I could go on for hours, but I want to be respectful of your time. This is a really, really interesting time for Madden 13 right now. There's the cover reveal in a couple of weeks in Times Square. There's the a whole lot of activity around that. There's the obviously the delivery of the game in late August. A whole bunch of great stuff coming down the pike. So, Mr. Weber, thanks for your time and good luck, and we'll speak with you moving forward.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Last is the great Calvin Johnson, also known as Megatron. I had a chance to catch up with him for a few minutes the day after he won the Madden NFL 13 cover vote in a very public fashion.
So first of all, congratulations on being the Madden 13 cover vote winner. So I got to ask you, yesterday afternoon, it's Times Square, live TV show. You're standing there next to Cam Newton. The countdown is going on. Thousands of people standing around, millions of people watching on TV. Did you think that you were the winner during that countdown?
You know, it was hard. You know, it was tough going up against Cam. You know, because, you know, he's been that, he's been balling, put it like that, short and simple. So, you know, had some stiff competition there.
Now, you and Cam Newton have what I perceive as slightly different personalities.
No doubt.
He's a little bit more of an outspoken guy, a little bit more of a laid-back personality. Do you think that had any effect on the vote one way or the other?
I don't think so, but I do know that you know, I give a lot of credit to my team up in Detroit, you know, our PR team. They really pushed it up in Detroit and got the votes in.
That's so the other thing that struck me, I was watching the photo shoot. Mm-hmm. They worked you out hard.
You saw me? Good thing I was the
You were sweating.
Man.
You were jumping around, diving. Did you have any idea you were going to be put through that much of a workout?
I did not. It was all a surprise. Like I said, you know, good thing we've been working out for a little while.
If I was working for the Lions, I'd be like, hey, relax. You know? So let's talk Madden for a minute.
Yep.
So I heard you say yesterday that you're a Madden player. Mm-hmm. What's your setup? Are you a PS3 guy? Are you a 360
Xbox.
Guy?
Mm-hmm.
Xbox. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you play at home? Do you guys have something set up like in the clubhouse?
During camp and stuff, there's a system in the lounge at the clubhouse at the facility. So we play there and at the hotel.
So who are your? Do you have like any rivals, like either on your team or your friends or your family?
Oh, no doubt. I got rivals all over the team. You know, everybody wants to get at me.
So who's your biggest rival?
My boy Gaz Chairless. We play Madden, but we play more FIFA though.
Okay. Oh, so you're a FIFA guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your club?
Man City.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So do you ever go online and play online at all?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you win more often than you
no,
lose?
My record is pretty impeccable right now.
That's good, because I get killed when I I'm terrible. Any other games other than FIFA or Madden you're big into?
FIFA's my big thing. Little Call of Duty, but that's about it.
Okay. Have you ever, like, really gotten into a game? Like, seriously into it, like maybe in an off season, and it just kind of took up a lot of your time?
That was more so in college.
Okay.
You know, that's probably what was the reason for declining my grades in the first year. But definitely played when Madden came out. That's mm-hmm. all we're doing.
That's cool. So let's talk college for a minute. Georgia Tech. Yep. How are you feeling about the Georgia Tech program these days and where they are?
You know, Paul Johnson's there, and he's been doing a good job. Got him to the ACC championship. You know, it's probably not the best system probably for a receiver to go through now, but it's great to see Jason Hill and Demaryius Thomas and those guys still come out and do good things, and I'm looking forward to see Buddy Hill come out and having a good rookie campaign.
And what's your opinion on the BCS right now? They're talking about some changes, they're talking about a playoff. If you had your pick, would you, you know, what direction would you go with the BCS?
Oh, man, that's tough, you know. The way it is, it could be so much. There had to be a playoff probably institute okay. in there.
All right. Well, let's talk Lions a little bit. Mm-hmm. You guys had a tremendous resurgence last year. And today's the NFL draft. So are you involved? Are you focused on what's going on with the draft picks? And,
No doubt about it. I'm going to be there. You know, looking forward to seeing who the Lions pick first this year.
Okay. Any particular positions that you're looking for?
No, but I think they're looking in the neighborhood. Could be O-line, could be defense. You know, you never know.
Now, you're not going to be surprising anybody this season as the Lions, you know, because you did have such a good year. So how do you go into a season knowing you're considered one of the favorites? Is that a different sort of mindset than you maybe had last year or the year before?
Maybe more. I mean, we still have high expectations for ourselves. You know, things have changed. Yes, we did have a good season last year, but our expectations for ourselves, they don't change. We're still going to come in and work it like we did last year, and even more so.
And what is a reasonable expectation you have for the Lions this year?
It's always to do better than we did the year before. I mean, we made the playoffs for the first time in a long time last year, but it's to go deep into the playoffs and ultimate goal every year is to win the Super Bowl.
So the Lions, the resurgence of the Lions has really captured the heart of the city. The fans have embraced this team. So how important was it to you to be a part of that organization? You signed a long-term contract. You are, you know, long-term with the Lions. So how important was that to you to do that?
It's been huge, you know, going from, you know, my second year going on 16 and then having Mayhew and Swartz and those guys come in and change the face of the organization and build this program from the ground up. You know, you see us progressing every year, you know. So that's, like I said, that's our goal this year is to keep on progressing on what we did the year before.
All right, last question for you. What's the best advice that you've ever gotten?
Oh, man, best advice I ever gotten. That's tough. I'm getting a lot of good advice. Well, one thing I'll tell these new crop of guys coming in is, you know, things are always going to be good times, there's going to be bad times, but you got to stay humble through the whole process.
Calvin Johnson, Madden 13 cover vote winner. Congratulations. Thank you very much, and good luck this season.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Thank you to EA Sports.
So we're still months away from NCAA 13 and Madden NFL 13, but as you can tell, the excitement is already palpable, and I know I can't wait either. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Box Score, brought to you by GamesRadar. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Rich Grisham. Tweet me any comments, questions, and thoughts you may have about this and future shows. And also follow GamesRadar at their handle, GamesRadar, and be sure to read my weekly Box Score column each and every Thursday on the site. Every click counts. Until next time, this is Richard Grisham for Box Score.